The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, don't blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to win the others' praise. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. When you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be in secret, so that your Father who sees in secret may reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. When you pray, go to your inner room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites who neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we begin the home stretch of the Sermon on the Mount, episode 9 in a 16-part series, all geared to helping us live by Jesus' standards with Jesus' own hope. And we get today the gospel we hear every Ash Wednesday. Because the three traditional Jewish practices Jesus describes have become three standard Christian practices, not just for the 40 days in the desert, but 365 days a year. That these are constitutive elements of how we relate to God. But Jesus wants us to do so with purity of intention, so that we're actually doing them for God and for Him as our reward. So in order to be able to understand this passage, we have to understand first the audience of all our acts of piety. And then we need to know the reward we're seeking. First, the audience, when Jesus describes how we give alms, doesn't want us to do it to win others' praise. Is we give alms to win others' praise. When they praise us, that's it. That is our reward. That's what we're really seeking. Similarly, when we pray, similarly, when we fast, we're supposed to be doing it for God. Going to our inner room where our treasure is, apart from the sight of others, in order to be with God and to give without our left hand knowing what our right is doing. But our Father is the great accountant who knows everything that we're doing. Is our audience fundamentally God or others? Jesus wants it, of course, to be for the Father, so that when we fast, we hunger for what He starves that we seek. We hear the echo of Isaiah 58. In terms of the many ways He's asking us to love our neighbor and be just. A particular type of fasting that's urgent at this time of national crisis and chaos. Something that we respond to by praying with our body in secret to the Father. When we pray, we're seeking His will, not just to know it, but to do it. We're seeking to become one with Him, to let His thoughts become our thoughts, His words become our words. And when we give alms, We're seeking to unite ourselves to His providential care, first for us and then through us for others. That our generosity is a response to His generosity to us. And it's a continuation of the love that we've received. That's the audience of all our prayers, and those are the objectives of our fasting and our almsgiving. What should be our reward? Those who do good things, holy actions with impure intention, have already received their reward here on earth. Jesus wants to strip us of vanity. He wants to make us different than the scribes and the Pharisees, who often would do things as conspicuously as possible. Or the virtuous pagans, who loved many times in order to be loved in return, in this just quid pro quo that anticipates the gospel, but is far surpassed by the gospel. Jesus instead wants our reward to be the Father. Sometimes even the whole thought of a reward seems impure. Shouldn't we be doing it exclusively for God? If there were any other reward that we're seeking, it seems at least an imperfection. But Jesus is constantly setting things up in the gospel based on a reward. Blessed are you who are persecuted, for your reward will be great in heaven. If you leave father and mother and children and lands for my sake and the sake of the gospel, you will receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life. If you've been faithful in small things, you will be entrusted with great responsibilities. Jesus constantly incentivizing our action. But He's incentivizing our action because all of these are ultimately able to be interpreted as God's giving Himself. I think of that dialogue between Jesus on the cross and Thomas Aquinas at the end of St. Thomas's life. Bene scripsisti di me, Toma, quam mercedes ergo accipias. You've written well of me, Thomas. What reward, therefore, should you receive? And Thomas's response, non aliam nisi te ipsum, Domine. Nothing other except you yourself, Lord. I want only you. And that's actually what happens when we look at those rewards. The great responsibility will be the responsibility in God's kingdom as His great steward. The 100-fold in this life will be a much deepened relationship with God, and eternal life is an eternal communion. To inherit that kingdom for having suffered for the Lord is to inherit God, because as Cardinal Ratzinger used to always emphasize, the kingdom of God is God. And so, when we are seeking a reward in faith, as Jesus incentivizes, we're actually seeking God Himself, not the things of God, not the consolations of God, not the rewards of God. Because God is simple, He is the reward. And that's what happens when we fast. We're fasting, we're starving for God. When we pray, we enter into communion. When we give alms, in a sense, we become the enfleshment of God's love in the middle of the world. Today we come to Mass having fasted for the Word of God and for the Word made flesh. And we will not lose that reward. We've come here to pray, to enter into full communion with the Lord, allowing Him to come and abide in us. And we will be given that reward. We've come here to receive from the Lord the greatest alm of all time, and together with that alm, to pay it forward doing this in his memory. One last application. In today's first reading, we see Elisha want a specific reward from Elijah. When Elijah asks, "Ask anything before I depart." And Elisha asks for 2/3, a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He couldn't have 100% of somebody's spirit, otherwise the spirit would be gone and the person would no longer be human. Normally you'd ask for 1/3. To ask for 2/3 was to be asking for something big. But Elisha boldly asked for it. And Elijah said, "If you see me go," he leaves the decision totally to God, "but if you see me taken up, it will be given to you." And we see how Elisha, after the ascension of Elijah, receives that spirit of Elijah by doing the exact same action of Elijah at the Jordan, tapping it with the mantle and having it stop its flow. And later we will see how Elisha acted with that double portion of the Spirit. For us, when we're asked by the Lord, "What do you seek?" we ask for the whole thing. And God the Father doesn't ration his Spirit, but sends the Holy Spirit to help us to fast, to pray, and to give of ourselves in communion with Christ for the Father and his glory. Praise be Jesus Christ.